8. Philippians chapter 4. Nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but only you. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things you sent, things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's be seated. Pastor, it's all yours.
Well, thank you, Bruce, for reading the final portion of scripture that we will look at in the book of Philippians. We will have completed the journey this morning. You probably should give your guys a hand. I mean, you endured and you made it the whole way. Good for you guys. Stories told of this young lady by the name of Hattie Wyatt. She was a little girl, and this was years ago in the area of Philadelphia, and she went to Sunday school, and they turned her away because there was not enough room in the classroom. And back in those days, Sunday school used to have a greater attendance than the Sunday morning worship service. This was years and years ago. In any event, they turned her away. There wasn't any room. And a couple years later, little Hattie passed away as a little girl. And it wasn't until after she passed away that they found out her little secret. Under her pillow, she had a torn wallet. And in the wallet, there were 57 pennies. And she had been saving up to build a bigger Sunday school class so that little kids could go to Sunday school. And in any event, there was a little note there to that effect. And of course, the pastor found out and he shared with the congregation, and the church family began to give towards a larger facility. And the newspapers got a hold of the story, and so it became published far and wide. And after 5 years, when it was all said and done, they had raised $250,000, which back in the early 1900s was a lot of money. In any event, they got a 3,300-seat church out there, the Temple Baptist Church, and plenty of room for any little one to get to Sunday school. And stories like that help us to get our minds right. They help us to think correctly about giving, and it's really easy to get twisted when we think about what it is to give financially to the Lord. What are some indicators that our thinking about giving is correct? And more specifically, what are some indicators that help us see that the spiritual leaders' thinking on giving is correct? In Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, we see some indicators that our thinking, especially the spiritual leaders' thinking about giving, is on target. I invite you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 14. The significance, before we delve into our text, of seeing it from the spiritual leaders' perspective is that when spiritual leaders' thoughts about giving and how they perceive giving is off, it has two effects. Number one, it affects people who are listening, and their perspective is also off. Or number two, it just turns other people off. So either way, it's not good. It affects things really considerably, and I don't need to give you illustrations of that. They abound in America, right? So let's just take a look at having the right perspective, particularly as a spiritual leader, and then it affects everybody. Number one, the first indicator is that he communicates his appreciation to the people. Chapter 4, verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. The word nevertheless takes us back, verse or 2. And in verse 12, Paul says, I have learned to be content whether I have a little bit or a lot. You'll remember last week. And then verse 13, he says, Jesus, he's the one who gives me the strength to be content when I have a little or when I have a lot. And so I'm good whether you gave me the gift of money or not. I'm fine. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Despite the fact that I'm content and Christ is the one who gives me the strength to be content, you did the right thing in giving me the gift of money from Epaphroditus. It was a good thing. And notice he says, you shared in my distress. And the word shared has the idea of being a partner. Because you've helped me with the gift of money and by sending Epaphroditus who's meeting my needs and by praying for me, you shared or partnered with me in my distress and my difficulty being in prison here. And the church of Philippi was a partner of the Apostle Paul's right from the start. Philippians chapter 1 verse 5 says, because of your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, you've been my partner right from the start and you have carried my burden with me. You shared in my distress. And that financial gift helped me carry my burden. Thank you. I appreciate that, though I'm content whether you sent it or not. Verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, in terms of when they first heard it, you also know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once again for my necessities. Now we need to unpackage this historically. Philippians, you know that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, Philippi was in Macedonia. It was a city. Macedonia was, let's call it a district or a region. And you were the one church that gave to me after I departed from the district of Macedonia. You were the only church that did, that gave to me right off the bat. And in fact, you gave to me when I was in Thessalonica. What does he mean by all that? Well, let's go back to Acts 17, and I think that will unpackage what he is saying there in Philippians chapter 4. Acts chapter 17 and Acts 16, Paul is in Philippi. And that is the first penetration of the gospel into what we would today call Europe, was in Philippi, in the district of Macedonia. So they go to Macedonia, he goes to Macedonia, Paul and Silas. The gospel goes to Philippi. People get saved. The church is started. And then he leaves, they leave, and go to another city in the district of Macedonia. Chapter 17, verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them. And for three Sabbaths, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, and people came to Christ. So in other words, first in verse 15, he said, you are the only church that gave to me after I left the district of Macedonia. And then the next verse, he says, you even began to give to me before I left Macedonia. As soon as I left Philippi, I got to Thessalonica, and you started giving to me right away. Right after you came to Christ, you began to support me when I went to Thessalonica. And so the idea here is, you folks have consistently partnered with me in the gospel in terms of giving right from the start. I left Philippi, I landed shortly thereafter in Thessalonica, and you started giving. I appreciate that. I thank you for that. And he rehearses their historical faithfulness and giving to him. Yeah, did you guys see in the bulletin? I didn't fix it. always the first Sunday of the month, we let everybody know where we're at financially. We're doing well. Thank you so much, $4,370-some-odd. I won't tell you how much over budget we were last year. Your heads will get too big. Isn't that a good problem to have? Yeah, thank you so much. It just does relieve the burden to not have a financial weight hanging over one's head, right? Whether it's at home or whether it's at the church. So thank you so much. Now, we'll go back to our text. Another indicator that the spiritual leadership is on track, and therefore the people will be on track with giving. He cares about the giver. When the spiritual leader cares about the giver more than the gift. Verse 17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. I care about you and how you're going to do at the judgment seat of Christ more than the reception of the gift. I appreciate the reception of the gift, but that's not what excites me the most. What excites me the most is the fruit that is going to abound to your account. And the word account is just very much like we use it today. And he's basically talking about their spiritual account. You're going to benefit as the giver. You are going to benefit as the giver, both in this life, but even more importantly, in the life to come. And that's what really excites me about this gift that you've given me. The generous soul will be rich, and he who waters will be watered himself. Proverbs 11:25 says, notice that it's the generous soul that will be made rich. So in other words, the blessing may be internal. It might be spiritual. It might be monetary as well. In Luke chapter 6, and I invite you to turn to Luke 6, there's really no reason to be all skittish about money and giving. As long as we keep it from a biblical perspective, it's just fine. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." You very well may be given back to financially. God could bless you more than you blessed someone else. And how did Jesus say it in Acts chapter 20, verse 35? By the way, it's the one quote from Jesus in the book of Acts. It's more blessed to give than what? It's more blessed to give than to receive. The internal spiritual vitality that you get from giving is greater than it is to receive. And so there's blessings in this life to giving. But the real thing I think that Paul is honing in on is the blessings in the life to come. The spiritual fruit that will be yours because of giving. And that's, Paul says, that's what really excites me. I could have made it without the gift. I've learned how to abase and how to abound, to be full and to be hungry. I've learned all of that stuff. So what really excites me is that at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to receive eternal gifts that you're going to enjoy forever. That's what really excites me. In Matthew chapter 6, you remember the words of our Lord? Verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust does corrupt and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust corrupts and where thieves cannot break in and steal." Eternal rewards can't be taken away. Physical, financial rewards can be taken away. All you need to do is have a crazy scare about a crazy virus and the stock market goes down. Right? It's crazy. So it cares more about the giver than the gift, really concerned about how the people are going to do at the judgment seat of Christ. That's the next great day in all of our history. It's the judgment seat of Christ. We should focus every day upon how is this day going to be reflected at the judgment seat of Christ. And when a spiritual leader's head is on straight, he cares more about the giver than the gift and how they're going to do facing Jesus. Third indicator that things are on target, things are not getting skewed. It's when the leader comprehends how God sees the gift. Isn't it always good to see things from God's perspective, regardless of what the issue is? To see things from God's perspective. Verse 18. Paul says, indeed, I have all and abound. I am overflowing now. Your spiritual gift has me in a condition right now where it's not only do I have what I need, I've got way more than I need. I have all and abound. I'm full. I've received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you to me. And here's how God sees that gift. It's a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, which is well-pleasing to God. A picture here is of an Old Testament sacrifice, right? Sacrifice an animal, and it would go up, and I don't know how, but it's a sweet-smelling aroma to God. If you've ever smelled animal burning, it doesn't smell good to us humans, but it does to God because it's a sacrifice from the giver. And it's an expression of worship. It's an aroma that God says, oh, that is a beautiful smell because it's an acceptable sacrifice and it pleases God. Anything that's done as an act of worship, as an act of love and adoration to God is well pleasing to God. I'm expressing my love to God and to others when I give and when I wash dishes and when I do whatever I do. Anytime it's an expression of love and honor to God and love towards people, it's always well pleasing to God. It's always well pleasing to God. It is an act of spiritual worship. And that's how God sees the gift of money that you gave me. It's an act of worship. It costs you something to do that. And God appreciates your willingness to give. He appreciates it because it expresses your love towards me. And more importantly, it expresses your love towards him. Well, let's just turn towards these verses that you see in your outline. Hebrews chapter 13. I love the simplicity of Hebrews 13, 16. Sometimes the best verses in the Bible are just really simple. You don't need any Hebrew. You don't need any Greek. You just have to know how to read. Hebrews 13, 16. But do not forget to do good. That's pretty basic. Do good, right? And to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. With such sacrifices, when you share with others and you do it because you love them and because you love me, God is well pleased. 1 Peter chapter 2. This talks about the whole Christian life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. You are also a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now that we know God, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And that's our entire life. Expressing our love and adoration to him. And Paul says that's exactly what you expressed to me when you gave that gift of money. And what you expressed to God. It's an act of worship. That's how God sees it. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God. Acts, make it Ephesians. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Live your life one step at a time, one act of love after another. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and he gave himself for us. And when he did, it was an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. When Jesus was on that cross, that offering, that sacrifice that he gave of himself was a sweet-smelling aroma that was pleasing to God the Father. And so whenever people give, we see it as an offering of ourselves to God. I didn't have to give that. I didn't have to give that amount. But Lord, I love you. I'm expressing my love and honor and adoration to you. You are awesome. And this is your money anyhow, and you graciously gave it to me. I'm just giving you back a small portion of what you've given to me. I love you. I appreciate you. I want to please you. And the spiritual leader understands that. And that's more important than the gift itself. It's how God sees it. How God sees it. Another indicator, very important one. Spiritual leader is confident, and the people are confident as they give, in God's provision. Confident in God's provision. Verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Notice he says, my God, the one that I know, the one that I love, the one who owns me and the one to whom I belong. He's my God, and I'm his child. And so I know him intimately. So what I'm going to say, I can say from firsthand experience, my God shall, that is, he will. I guarantee you that he will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He is going to supply all of your needs. And so the idea here is, let's say we give some money, we give it to the Lord, and then we lose our job. Paul says, that's okay. My God will supply all of your need. You took care of me with the gift of money, and now I know you gave out of deep poverty. 2 Corinthians 8 says so. You didn't have a lot to give, but you gave what you gave, and God's going to take care of you. He always takes care of his children. In Proverbs chapter 3, by the way, it's one of my favorite chapters on the book of Proverbs. It would be Proverbs 3. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. God is going to take care of you and your needs. And I love how it says here back in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches, and he is really rich, by the way, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According to is an interesting phrase, according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Let's say that you had a multimillionaire and he gave to the American Cancer Society. Somebody comes around and he gives a dollar. He would be giving out of his riches. If he gave $100,000, he would be giving according to his riches. That is, in proportion to his riches. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He will supply your need in proportion to how rich he is. And by the way, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns everything. And so he's pretty rich. He will provide in proportion to his glorious riches. Think of it this way. He who spared not his own son, how shall he not also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. If he sacrificed and he gave and he met our greatest need, don't you think he's going to meet our teeny weeny needs, which are small in comparison? He met our spiritual, eternal need. He will meet our temporary, much smaller need. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Jesus is up there in heavenly places, and we've been raised up together with him, verse 6, so that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. When we're in heaven and we're in the new heavens, it's going to take all eternity to be able to get our arms around on just how rich his grace and his kindness to us has been. And we still won't be able to wrap our arms around it. That's how gracious he is to us in terms of what he gives us. He will take care of your need. Don't worry if things go south for you financially. He will take care of your needs. Now, I could tell you all kinds of stories, and I'm going to tell you one. But I went through my memory as best I could, and here's one I am sure that you've never heard. In fact, I don't think my kids know this story, okay? We're up in the Cleveland area and getting ready for our first child, sometimes known as the great parental experiment. Our first child is getting ready to go to school, right? And so we try homeschool and kindergarten. That was not a good fit. I will just leave it at that. It did not work. And so it's like, okay, well, let's pray about it. We pray about it. I think the Lord wants us to try Christian school. Now, you have to understand, the other three kids weren't homeschooled or Christian school or anything. We're just trying to figure this thing out. This is the great experiment, right? We're up in the Cleveland area. So yeah, let's try Christian school. I think that's where God's leading us. So we go and we talk to, I don't know if it was the assistant principal or the principal, I don't recall, it was one of those guys. And we're talking and he's selling us the school, right? And then he says, well, this is how much it cost. Any scholarships or anything like that? No, this is how much it cost. And God provides for people. So I said, well, it's really easy for you to say that. I'm the one he's got to provide for, right? I'm the one that's, this is really easy. Just, you're not helping me, pal. So in any event, we got this cost and we're thinking, well, we're just going to send him into public school. This is not going to happen. Oh, I don't know. It was a week or two later. I get a phone call from my dad, and my dad says, hey, I helped your brother, with his down payment on the house so that he would not have to pay the insurance that you have to pay if you're not at least giving a 20% deposit. I gave him X number of dollars so that he could put 20% down. And I want to be fair, no favoritism, so I want to give you and your other brother the same amount. So we took that as a sign that God wanted Demolition Dan to go to Christian school. And you know, it was of the Lord. Those were the 2 years he went to Christian school. And he just grew up and he became a semi-nice person during those years. Dan was amazing. He was just the one who's the pastor. Yeah, he was amazing when he was little. And he really did. He settled down. He actually came to Christ, not directly from the Christian school, but he came to Christ during those years. And I'm sure all the good input that he got did not hurt. I'm sure it helped. And he was key to get on the right track. Dan is a leader. He's been a leader since he was about 2 years old. And it really helped the other ones to see the oldest brother, who was a leader, going down the right path. It was crucial. When you look back on it, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I give you other stories, lots of them. He will supply your needs. He's committed to you. Finally, another good indicator is when the spiritual leader and the people are concerned about God's glory. Doesn't that make sense? Verse 20. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And the idea of forever and ever is from one age to the next. From one age to the next. We're in the church age, and then we're going to go to another age, and we're going to go another age. Therefore, throughout all eternity, may God receive glory, honor, praise now and forever. And that's what this is all about, Paul says, is the glory of God. In Psalm 86, this is a beautiful, beautiful psalm, beautiful verse. Verse 12. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all of my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. Not just in this life, but in the life to come. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all of my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:17. The glory of God is the primary issue of life in all areas of life. Why would it be any different when it comes to having the right perspective to giving? And Paul is saying, if you give and you run out of money because of some circumstance, my God's going to supply your need, and may he do it in such a way that everybody sees how wise he is, how faithful he is, how loving he is, how full of grace and mercy he is. May he receive glory when he supplies all of your needs. And so these are some indicators, really not just for spiritual leaders, but for everybody. But it starts with the people up front, when God's people have the right perspective on giving to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we want to stay on track. And it's not just on track for giving. It's on track for serving and living for you. These principles, these indicators apply to a broader spectrum of living the Christian life. And we pray, Lord, that you would keep us on track. Help us, Lord God, to see the eternal implications of how we utilize our money. Help us to see it has eternal benefits or eternal opportunity cost loss, perhaps. Guide us and direct us. Help us to see giving as an act of worship, but we're expressing our love to you and our honor to you. Help us, Lord God, to be confident in your provision in our lives, not just in connection to our giving, but you're not going to let one of your children beg for bread. And as long as you have purposes for us in this life, you're going to make sure that we're sustained. You will provide for us. You are a faithful Father. And help us, Lord God, to be riveted upon you receiving glory, not only when we give, but in every area of life. We want your magnificence to be put on display. And so, Father, thanks for this time in your word. Bless each person here richly. Thank you for the privilege of being renewed on our inside, on our inner man. And we ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.